When you return to your neighborhood after a long day at work, do you feel a sense of coming home? Like you're returning to a place where you really belong. A new report into multiculturalism shows that for migrants, a sense of belonging in the postcode where you live is key. And that comes quicker than a sense of belonging to the country overall. But neighborhoods are changing quickly. Rising rents and gentrification are reshaping communities, sometimes pushing out the very cultural identities that made them vibrant in the first place. And all of this is unfolding against the backdrop of loud, very public conversation about immigration and debates that often centre on who gets to belong in the first place. So what is the path forward for new migrants trying to build a life in Australia? And with me is Mohamed Semra, the mayor of Maribyrnong City Council in Melbourne. Mohamed, you're 27. You've already racked up a pretty long list of accomplishments. You're the mayor of an inner city Melbourne council. But take me back to those very first days when you moved to Maribyrnong. What was your neighbourhood like?
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on. So when I first arrived in Maribyrnong, what struck me the most was the diversity. The city of Maribyrnong has a very vibrant multicultural community, and it is one of the most multicultural cities in Australia. You know, residents are from more than 100 different countries and speak more than 80 languages. And I remember, to give you an example, I always used to frequently visit the Braybrook Community Centre, and there was a beautiful playground shaped like an aeroplane. And when I used to go to the playground, I used to see so many people who looked like me from, you know, migrant backgrounds, from Sudan, from Somalia, from Eritrea. And it definitely increased my own sense of belonging. And, you know, there is a strong character to Maribyrnong. You know, people look after each other. And we had a strong, supportive neighbourhood. And I think being a single mum with like six kids, you know, she definitely, you know, had some hardship, but she showed immense leadership and she was supported through our local neighborhood houses, community centers, and especially those friendly neighbors.
So what was it that your neighborhood did that really made you and your family feel like you belonged?
I think it was that sense of, you know, checking in, being kind. And we used to have a neighbor that had a lemon tree, and on random weekends, she'll come and knock and offer some lemons. It was those small acts of kindness that reminded us that we did belong.
Also with me is Trish Prentice, who's the lead author of this Multiculturalism in Focus report from the Scanlon Institute. Trish, how does it feel to listen to Mohamed's story there for you?
Well, I can certainly relate to those experiences, not necessarily firsthand, but from the individuals I spoke to. So this report, we were particularly interested in the experiences of individuals who'd come from some of Australia's fastest growing migrant communities. And I asked them about their sense of belonging in their local neighbourhoods and their sense of belonging to Australia. And in terms of at that local neighbourhood level, that sense of connection to people was critically important for their sense of belonging. They talked about experiences like having people greet them in the morning, those smiling faces. They talked about having trusted relationships where they could leave their house to go away and the neighbours would look after it for them or keep an eye on it, or take out their bins for them in the morning. And they talked about having people they could rely on in the local community. And those experiences and those relationships really contributed to their sense of belonging in the local neighbourhood.
That's really lovely stuff. I'm thinking it's very informal. Like, are there any things that neighbourhoods can do to formalise that if they really want to prioritise being welcoming?
I think there are certainly formal things that can be done as well as those informal relationships. Local councils, I would argue, play a really important role in fostering social connection, and that can be in different ways by creating spaces or places where people can come out in public and feel safe and intermingle. It can be with facilities that bring people together in groups, and it can be just, I guess, a culture, developing a culture in the local area of welcome, which is really important as well.
So tell me about this kind of divide between feeling like you belong in your local neighbourhood and feeling like you belong in Australia as a whole?
It was really interesting in the interviews that I did when I spoke to people about their sense of belonging to their local community. That was really clear. And most of the responses when I said, what makes you feel like you belong, they were really consistent, so those social connections. But when I asked people about their sense of belonging to Australia, there was a less strong sense of belonging, but also that when I asked people about why that was the case, whether positively or negatively, there were more reasons given for that. So that sense of belonging at a national level comes through different processes and different experiences to that at a community level.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, and we're talking about belonging, especially at the neighbourhood level. I'm here chatting with Trish Prentice from the Scanlon Foundation Research Institute, who's the lead author of the Multiculturalism in Focus report, and Mohamed Semra, who's the mayor of Maribyrnong City Council in Melbourne. And I'm also here with Sayed Naqvi, who's the president of the Pakistan Australian Cultural Association. Trish mentioned there were six groups of folks, of rapidly growing populations in Australia. Pakistan's one of them. Sayed, welcome.
Good morning, Keegan, and all ABC listeners. Thank you so much for the invitation today.
So you first came to Australia in 2003. Tell me about the early days there.
So I listened to Trish as well, and as the mayor. It's so right. Like when I arrived here, I arrived in Geelong, in Victoria. It was such a beautiful town. Everyone was welcoming, smiling. That all those experiences, so anyone who comes in, these experiences, when someone's talked about social connection, being kindness, empathy as well. If you see someone, how you connect with someone who doesn't look like you, who doesn't follow the same cultures, that matters so much. And all my wonderful experiences in Geelong and then here in Queensland has shaped me to where I love my neighborhood and I love my Australia.
You've moved around a little bit as well. What have you seen in different parts of Australia?
Yeah, so as you mentioned about even Pakistanis, so we Pakistanis, majority of Pakistanis are skilled migrants. And as a skilled migrant, I have lived in Victoria for more than 10 years, here in Queensland for 8 years as well. Australia is diverse, and you go into different areas, there would be different issues, but the core things are exactly the same. The mateship, like the smiles, even like the problems, whether it's cost of living or whether you think about how we are looking at immigrants right now, it's exactly the same.
I do want to talk about that side of things. It's all great to be like, yeah, Australia, the land of smiles, fantastic. But we can't ignore the fact that there's culture war arguments playing out every other day. Mohamed, how do you navigate this sense of belonging in a time where some of the narratives are quite unwelcoming?
Yeah, you know, in national debates filter down to local streets, and I think it's important to understand that. And when migration and other people are now framed as a problem, or communities are signaled out, you know, people feel it. I know I felt it when I was younger, when my community at times was used as a political football. And, you know, the question of who gets to say who belongs is powerful. Mm. And I think when it comes to what our responsibility is and what I see as my responsibility as mayor and what councils can do, it's to invest in shared spaces. Ashish was mentioning before, because when the narrative is outside of our control and outside of young people's control, it is easy to self-reject and it's easy to, you know, not feel like you belong.
What kind of shared spaces are you talking about?
So I remember when I used to go to school, I didn't feel like I belonged because I didn't see myself represented in the curriculum. I didn't see myself represented in the staffing. And it's easy to disassociate yourself from an environment where you feel like you're not represented. When I was at home, I was Sudanese and I spoke Arabic. When I was at school, I was Australian and I spoke English. But I never really felt there was a place where I could be fully myself. And when I look at what really enabled me to, you know, accept my identity and really thrive was my local sporting club. I played basketball when I was younger, a part of the Les Twenyman Foundation's basketball youth team for at-risk youth. And when I was there, it gave me an outlet. It gave me a place to form friendships. It gave me a place to, you know, improve my confidence and a lot of the soft skills that I think were important in enabling me to have a growth mindset. And there's so many other examples of shared spaces where you can learn more about other people and different cultures and ethnicities and build cultural awareness and understanding.
Well, Syed, you're sort of trying to do a bit of this work as well. Your organisation covers all of Queensland, but you were particularly active, the Pakistani community in your area was particularly active after Tropical Cyclone Alfred last year.
Yes, that's true. And I'd just like to add to Mohammed's point as well. These are so critical discussions, which we need right now as well. Deegan, racism is real. Whether rise of anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, and the sense of belonging is when we see it under the face. And it's not just about like just racism. Anything, anyone hating even on any different color, like whites, browns, or anything where like we look at, we need to have this discussion. This is our country, Australia. We belong here. And that is the most important thing. So when you talked about the Alfred, when Alfred hit us, we are Australians from Pakistani heritage. And that is like the message that hatred feeds on hatred, but like love is difficult as well. And when you are a community which belongs, you stand up for everyone. So post Alfred, we did food drives across Queensland as well. We had more than 100 plus volunteers from Pakistani Australian background who were helping out with even medicines, even like necessary stuff for people who doesn't have anything. And all of this matters, not just from Pakistani community, even getting the love back as well.
Trish, thinking about these themes and challenges that Syed and Mohammed are both speaking to, does this bear out in your report?
Yeah, when I interviewed individuals, there were certainly some who spoke to their experiences of discrimination or racism in Australia, and that did impact their sense of belonging. If you think about belonging as a sense of kind of group membership, when you perceive that you're being discriminated against or experiencing racism, that you're essentially feeling that you're excluded from the group, that you don't belong. And so that does, of course, impact people very deeply at that emotional level and at the social level and other levels as well.
Say it.
Yeah, Trish, I had gone through her wonderful research, and it is great that we do have like this benchmark as well. And there's like a lot of work needs to be done from here, because sense of belonging is not just only from a migrant perspective. You are like highly skilled. You don't get like a job as like your qualification. You try to get a house, all like cost of living experiences, all of that impacts it. So I think what as like even Home Affairs who have supported the study, or government, or like mayor and city council, everyone needs to do extra work where they need to help and help like new immigrants properly assimilate into Australia, give them opportunities and make it easier for them.
It's so interesting you bring up this idea of cost of living, because on the text line, one person says, due to housing security, I never feel at home here. Melbourne is my hometown, but I'm in a constant state of insecurity about my place here. Like you said before, Syed, these ideas of cost of living are affecting all Australians, migrant or not. Mohammed, I'm interested in your area. How is that impacting the multicultural communities that call Maribyrnong home?
So Maribyrnong is changing rapidly. By 2050, we expect to, you know, increase our population by 56%. And with that, obviously, comes development. And what we have seen is that it also brings pressure. So, you know, rising rents and housing prices have increased over the past decade. And, you know, the very communities that I saw when I was, you know, when we first moved to Maribyrnong, sadly, you know, are being priced out and have been priced out. So long-standing migrant families and small businesses. So the risk is that we need to practice diversity, and so we have to start having real conversations about housing affordability and inclusive planning.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor chatting with Mohamed Semra, who's the mayor of Maribyrnong City Council in Melbourne, Saeed Naqvi, president of the Pakistan Australian Cultural Association in Queensland, and Trish Prentice from the Scanlon Institute, who's the lead author of the Multiculturalism in Focus report that's just come out. We're talking about neighbourhoods as the starting point for feeling like you belong in Australia if you've come here from somewhere else. Tony from Penhurst in Sydney says, "My wife and I have lived in our neighbourhood for over 30 years, and over that time, the character has dramatically changed. It's now a thriving community that has a large Asian community. The cultural diversity is wonderful, and we celebrate all the different cultural festivals, Lunar New Year, Diwali, and Ramadan." And Margaret says, "I live in Neil, where our community has welcomed different nationalities, including successfully integrating over 300 Karen refugees from Myanmar. It takes support from all the community, but needs leaders from both Australia and the Karen community to make it happen." So Trish, your work for the Scanlon Institute also runs annual surveys into social cohesion in Australia. How does belonging play into discussions around social cohesion?
Yeah, that's a great question. So social cohesion, it's a tricky thing to define. The way that we understand social cohesion is that we measure certain underlying constructs or factors, and one of them is belonging. And so, as I said before, if you think about belonging as membership of a group, it works as an amazing motivating factor to drive you to participate, to give you a sense of being a part of something that's bigger than yourself, as something that, I guess, gives you a motivation to contribute to the greater good. And then belonging is also underpinned by things like shared values and social trust. And so what we find, belonging is both an important contributor to social cohesion, and it's highly interconnected with it. So you can't almost separate the two. They work hand in hand with each other. A strong sense of belonging contributes in turn to a strong sense of cohesion.
Mohamed, does that ring true for you?
Most definitely. I think when you have a strong sense of belonging, it reinforces your belief in yourself, and it allows you to, you know, be able to move forward and be resilient. You know, I have experiences, you know, when I was younger, of discrimination or racism, but for me it was, you know, how can I move forward, how can I bounce back, where do I go from here, and just moving away from why me. And I got a sense of belonging through my local sporting club. I got a sense of belonging, you know, by joining the youth services programs in my local council. And these all foster strong connections.
Final thought. Across cultures. Final thought, Saeed. How do we get to this point of belonging and cohesion?
Great conversation as well. So one of the key things right now is for all listeners right now, from all different aspects, diversity as well. Australia is our beautiful country, and we have to have to welcome each and everyone as well. So one thing which I would ask your listeners, not just smile, we need to take a step further from that. Invite people to your house who are different from you, don't belong, follow the same cultural values. And for the government as well, for the mayor, and all like other people, politicians, they need to work out on long-term solutions. So a lot of time immigrants they have been put into spotlight right now in conversations. Government needs to, or councils needs to improve housing more quickly, so that the cost of living or cost like getting houses would be easier. So Australians doesn't hate, locals doesn't hate new immigrants. And my last point to everyone who's listening is, we need to take hatred is easy, love is difficult. And all of this hatred of politics of division as well, take one step further, how you can make someone welcome properly as well. And that is, like, as a community, we are there to do. take our step forward as well.
Beautiful words. Thank you so much, Saeed Naqvi, President of the Pakistan-Australian Cultural Association, also Trish Prentice, Senior Researcher at the Scanlon Foundation Research Institute, lead author of the Multiculturalism in Focus report we've been speaking about today, and Mohamed Semra, Mayor of the Maribyrnong City Council in Melbourne.
Getting in touch with ABCRN is easy. Join the conversation live using the ABC Listen app's call and text features.